You're listening to 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. You may think you know the contours of the abortion debate in the U.S. You likely have your own opinion on the matter. As much as we think of it as a black and white, two-sided issue, a recent in-depth survey of people in Tennessee and five other states reveals great nuance and variation in how people think about abortion from legal and moral standpoints. One of the researchers who conducted the survey is Dr. Tricia Bruce, a sociologist who lives in Knoxville. I spoke with her recently.
I think oftentimes when we hear a lot about something, we presume that we have all that we need by way of understanding what people think about the issue. And so our first task as researchers here was to really look at, well, what's the available literature or what's out there in terms of what we understand about how Americans, the everyday American or the ordinary American, thinks about this issue. And there were a couple things we noticed right away. One is that most of the research that's done on this topic is done in a pretty simplistic way, meaning that it's a survey that relies upon short questions with limited answers. So something like, do you consider yourself pro-choice or pro-life? And those kinds of questions give us a certain picture of attitudes, which are helpful across the national scale. But they don't offer much depth or explanation. So if we're trying to understand where are the differences or where do they come from or what do people mean when they use these labels or these terms? And then so we turned to more qualitative kind of interview-based research and tried to figure out, well, what do we know on that front? And it turns out that most of the studies on abortion attitudes have looked especially at activists. So people who are involved in social movements or advocacy to see the law changed in one way or another. So this, of course, is a major part of the way that the conversation is formed, but it's not the entire conversation. But we came away from this realizing, wow, we talk a lot about abortion, but we haven't really asked ordinary Americans what they think about abortion in a way that is that allows them to answer in their own words. And so that's what our study set out to do, was really ask Americans, what do you think about this issue? What does it connect to? Where do your thoughts and feelings come from? And what does it mean within this otherwise very seemingly loud topic that we hear about all the time?
When you were thinking about how do you look at this through a different facet of the prism, how did you want to avoid those and other pitfalls so that you would not end up repeating what you feel like were some of the shortcomings of previous surveys on this topic?
We had to be really careful about sampling is the word that we use in sociology. So how do we choose a sample of Americans that can, if not be representative on every single front, be representative on a lot of fronts and look like a veritable cross-section of Americans? Part of the way that we did this was we sent out a mailing, so a letter, to 2,500 Americans across six different states. In that letter, it didn't tell them what the interview was about. It identified it as a social issue. It invited respondents to go online and fill out a pre-screener of sorts that got basic demographic information. And we used all of that information then to construct a sample of 217 Americans that was able to approximate the American population at whole. For each one of those interviews, we sat down with folks for an extended period of time, on average 75 minutes, and got to know them and then got into the interview. But who we asked, you're right, was key to this, that we weren't asking our friends or people who had particular views. In fact, we did not actually know what their views on abortion were when we began the conversation or when they were selected for the interview. It was only through the process that we learned more about what they felt.
The public conversation about abortion in the U.S. is often boiled down to two camps. That's what we hear about the most, pro-life and pro-choice. What you found is that there's a lot more nuance than that, even within those two broader categories. Would you summarize just a little bit? I know there's a lot to get into with this report, but kind of some of the top line results that kind of challenge that notion that there's only two ways to look at this issue.
Part of what we thought we knew about abortion comes out of the way that we had asked questions before and who we had asked. Looking at activists or looking at the way people vote or respond to survey questions with limited answers. When you sit down and talk to people, you realize that some of these very categories and labels that we use are actually really problematic. even for people who affiliate with them in some way. So for example, words like pro-choice and pro-life, which themselves are already contested and there's debate about who they define and what they define, but they've been used readily. And when we sat down and asked people kind of where you fall on this and how well you identify with these labels, then people gave us a huge variety of responses. One of the things that we did was ask people if there was a scale where one represented the most pro-choice perspective and 10 represented the most pro-life position, most people put themselves somewhere in between the one and the 10. And so already it starts to tell us, you know, there's something about the way that people think about this issue that doesn't fit neatly into just two camps.
As part of this survey, you interviewed 42 people from Tennessee. What did you learn from that subset, and were their views substantially different from those that you drew in other parts of the country?
It was wonderful to sit down and kind of think through, you know, what is the local culture that infuses the ways that people talk about a particular issue, in this case, abortion. And, you know, we think about what is the context of Tennessee and how do people enact their values here? It's an area where we'll see billboards advocating particular positions, often pro-life positions. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone we interviewed in this area expressed those positions, but what it often meant is that people would use those as a way to articulate those positions. We also heard people from Tennessee draw contrast to other parts of the country. You know, we are not California, or this is not New York. So there was this sense of, you know, the way that politics and culture works looks a little different here. The other thing that I'll add on this front, though, is that lots of other things matter, including are you in the city, are you in the county, levels of education, personal experience. You know, we put all of these things into this bucket that shapes in really interesting and nuanced ways how someone feels about this issue. And in that way, Tennesseans don't look really different from other regions. In fact, like all Americans, Tennesseans are grappling with oftentimes competing values and trying to sift and sort through those and understand what they mean in the context of moral and legal positions that they may hold.
One of your specialties, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, is studying the sociology of Catholicism. I know you've written some works about that, and certainly the Catholic Church has been pretty consistently anti-abortion from an organizational top-down perspective, to say with one voice, this is not officially anything that we sanction. Did you find that there was any variability among parishioners? When you talk to Catholics themselves, the people who fill the pews each Sunday, did they have more flexibility or more nuanced thought on this issue than the official line of the church?
Well, one important finding is even in the question that you pose, which is that we can talk about Catholics, but it's different to talk about Catholics in general versus Catholics who were in the pews. And so you mentioned parishioners and those who attend. Attendance matters. And that's actually true across the board religiously. So people who identify with a religious affiliation, but also who are active in it to participate, tend to have more, if we want to call them more conservative views or more oppositional views to abortion, both morally and legally. But it's really across the board. And when you look at this broader identity of Catholicism and the way that Catholics talk about abortion, it looks really different than the ways that elite leaders or the bishops might articulate pro-life positions. We also see Catholics articulating both acceptance of and adherence to church teachings, but also dissenting from them. So you have these kind of interesting tensions that people think through and then decide kind of, well, what does that mean for my Catholic identity if I disagree on some levels and agree on others?
As we've talked about, one of the characteristic features of this particular study was depth, not just asking a series of simple binary yes or no type questions, but really getting into more of a conversational mode and getting people to think more closely about their views on abortion from a legal and moral standpoint. And this is actually mentioned in the survey report. Several of the respondents said, gee, you're really making me think, or, you know, I've never really had to put the mirror up to my own views like this. Did you have, that you know of, anybody change or adjust their views just based on the depth of this survey and getting them to think about their views?
Yeah, I want to say at the outset that, of course, it was not our intention to go in and change people's views. So we didn't agenda. But you know, what was fascinating, I think, especially because of that, is to watch people kind of grapple with where they sit on this issue was, to me, at the highest level, an invitation to, or recognition of, the lost art of reflection and conversation, even with oneself, whereby we get through these sort of most surface level summaries using labels of an issue and really try to think, well, you know, wait a minute, what do I think, or where does that come from, or where are the contradictions in my thinking? And so you're right, absolutely. In the course of these interviews, it was fascinating to watch people and sometimes be deeply troubled by what they recognized in themselves and would express as contradictory views. You know, and sometimes people were okay with that and just realized, like, well, that's, you know, where I am. But other times people would end the interview and think, wow, I didn't realize this about myself, or it was really the beginning of a conversation with themselves. And in some ways it was surprising, because of course we think about abortion as a topic that it's a third rail. We don't touch it. We don't talk about it. And yet in the context of these interviews, because we entered a space of non-judgment and listening and authentic exploration, then suddenly people were more willing to engage. And it became, I think for many people, a really meaningful searching of what's going on here, what's behind this.
Well, as you mentioned, there was no agenda going into this, a hoped for or preset conclusion. But even so, even though it was open-ended, even though it was just kind of to cast a line into the water to see what you could find, what did you learn that surprised you? Maybe something that you didn't anticipate, even on a subconscious level, that you thought, oh, that's neat, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the things that is surprising and yet not was how deeply personal and intimate this issue is for so many people. Again, based on the sample, we didn't know what we were going to encounter in terms of people who had had personal experiences. It turns out that a quarter of our female interviewees had had personal experiences with abortion, as well as a number of our male interviewees. And three quarters of our interviewees knew someone personally who had had an abortion. One of the things that surprised us was when we hear about abortion, we hear about it in this loud, public, you know, framed way. But when you talk to people, with people, when you sit down and talk to them about abortion, instead it's about, that was me, or this is the choice that I made at a certain point in my life, and here's why, or that was my daughter. So in some, I think one of the things that was really surprising to us is how deeply personal this issue is. And I think that that gets lost in the ways that we talk about abortion publicly.
How do you hope or envision the results of the survey would inform and shape the abortion debate in the United States, that this gets added to that conversation? What role do you want it to play?
I think that right now we are in a moment culturally, politically, where we are very quick to make presumptions about others, especially others who disagree with us. And I think that we miss a lot of steps in between. And as a result, we have a really inaccurate picture of who people are. And I would even say also it lessens our ability to empathize and understand and really kind of put ourselves in someone else's shoes. And I think as a result, we have a decreased ability to talk about what does it mean to build healthy communities, healthy environments, supportive policies, the work that it takes to build a community and a functioning civil society without yelling at each other. And so my hope with the report is that even if reading this doesn't help you sit down with your aunt whose views are vastly different than yours, you know, maybe that's too ambitious of a hope, although I would love it if that happens. But maybe it means understanding your aunt better by reading in the report or beginning to consider, well, where does her view come from? You know, maybe there's something there that actually does establish a level of commonality and understanding as a way of building a path towards that productive civil conversation and policy that we all ultimately support.
Dr. Tricia Bruce is a sociologist who specializes in the study of religion in the United States and throughout the world, and her new report is called How Americans Understand Abortion. You can find a link to it at our website, WUOT.org. Dr. Bruce, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sparing the time today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.